We left off just the very end of yesterday's show. We were talking a little bit about Jews and Goyim. Even if somebody is Jewish, technically, maybe they have the status of a Goyim. They got to be certain halachas in terms of Rebbis. So we try to speak a little bit about the details of that. There is a shaila that was really nischadesh in the last couple hundred years, and that's the issue of banks. We spoke a little bit about banks in the past. There was Rav Moshe's chiddush about the lova and the shugagum, etc. But even before Rav Moshe's day, the Toskim started to discuss a couple hundred years ago. So who knows some history, modern European history, when the banks start? Not that long ago, a couple hundred years ago. In the old days, you wanted to borrow money, you went to a person, he gave you money, an institution called the bank. So the poskim would die on what exactly is the status of banks vis-a-vis ribbis, particularly if there were Jewish and non-Jewish partners in the bank. So there was a big machlekes at poskim, whether we follow the principle of rov. So some poskim came up with this idea and said, Rav Matos, you want to know whether a given institution is considered to be Jewish or Goyish, so you follow Rove. So if Rove and the partners are Goyim, then the whole institution is considered to be a Goy, and it's mutter to lend money for ribbis, mutter to borrow money for ribbis, etc. And not everyone agreed to that. So we generally assume lakul on that. We generally assume that if in fact Rove and the partners are Goyim, we assume that is the truth in America. Most banks today are in fact Rove Goyim. And therefore, even though there may be a couple of Jewish shareholders in the bank, that doesn't really bother us, and we would permit ribbis legamre in both directions. According to Rav Moshe, you don't have to come on to that. According to Rav Moshe, even if it's a Jewish-owned bank, you would be permitted to have the bank borrow money from you. You can put money into your checking account, put money into your savings account, have the bank borrow money from you because there's no shibud aguf, there's no personal liability from the bank itself. But even according to Rav Moshe, it would be a problem with the other direction. If the bank wants to lend you money, I want to take out a mortgage, I want to take out a water loan or something from the student loan, whatever it is, I'm going to take out money from a bank. Even according to Ramesh, that's going to be a problem, unless the bank of Yaloch is considered to be a Goyish bank. So that meaning is lahokil, that if Rove the owners are Goyim, we treat that as a Goyish institution. And therefore, the only banks that would be a problem are the Israeli banks. So the Israeli banks, Takana Khadami, they have a heteriska, we'll talk about that a little bit later on. A regular American, normal American bank, that would be mutter. Those who didn't want to rely on this kula, and they want to make sure that the bank that they're doing business with is totally Goyim, Goyim Gemurim, Felicium suffix, they got to start looking for different types of banks. So, Michael Popular, I don't know if that's maybe one of the banks around town. I don't know, it's probably likely that there are Jewish partners in that also. You want to go to the Kuwait Bank, I don't know, you want to go to those kinds of banks. Maybe you shouldn't be doing that for other reasons. But whatever it is, the Dominican element to be pretty make on this. It's the same shaila that the poskim discuss in terms of general issues. How do you define these types of businesses that are partial of Jews, partial of Goyim? The other big nafka min ladin is a chom shel over Pesach. Is that considered to be a Jewish institution or a Goyish institution? So we know that there are some Jews shareholders, some Goyish shareholders. Is that considered to be a problem or not? So it's the same shaila. The same way that we're making about ribbis, we're making about chomets as well. That's why most of the, let's say, Pathwalk or something, you know, all these corporations, these big food corporations, even though there probably are a few Jewish owners in there, since we're over them, and we assume that it's not considered to be a problem. We mentioned, I think, before Pesach, we spoke about the fact that one of the big food distributors in America happens to be a Jewish distributor, CNS, that's Conan Strauss. That's a big problem. That may or may not be a big problem, depending on when you learn the Sugya of Chometz Lev Pesach. But in terms of the stores themselves, if you walk into Pathmark, you're not too worried about where the chametz came from along the way. If you just want to know who owns and who is Mr. Pathmark, Mr. Pathmark is probably 95% Goyim and 5% Jews. But we assume that that's not considered to be a problem. Rav Moshe has a chiddush in this area. When you have these institutions, and we try to be done, whether it's Gabi Ribbis, or Gabi Shabbos, or Gabi Chometz, or whatever other areas of halacha that we're concerned with, so Rav Moshe has a chiddush, that even if you have a group of people who have share in these banks, in these institutions, even though they're only a mu'at, but if they're a miut who has control, if they're a miut that has, they make the decisions. Like a lot of times, you have a lot of business like this. Everyone here probably owns some kind of stocks or mutual funds or something. So every 2 weeks you get some letter in the mail saying that there's going to be a big meeting, a big vote by proxy, and you have to decide what you're going to invest in. So everybody, you realize how much minuscule amount that you have, so nobody ever bothers returning the proxy. return the vote. But in theory, you could vote. So Rav Moshe writes, you have some companies like that where the owners are such a minuscule amount that they don't make any real decisions. Then you have other kinds of situations where, let's say, I own 45% of the company, so it's true, technically I'm a miyot, so technically acharam hatos, but lemaisa, I'm the other guy who goes to the board meetings, I'm the only one who makes all the decisions. So if I'm really running, if I'm tachlis running the company, so Rav Moshe was chayshesh, then maybe this whole svar doesn't apply. So even Rav Moshe, who was machmir for a small percentage, potentially less than 50% owners, to label the company as being Jewish, if they're making the decisions, that's only if they're the owners making the decisions. Very often you have a situation where a manager's making decisions. You have a supermarket. So you go to a Pathmark. So you walk into Pathmark. So who owns Pathmark? So we know 95% of Pathmark is owned by Goyim, 5% owned by Jewish shareholders. It happens to be you walk into a given Pathmark. It could be that the manager, the guy who tackles, he's the one who's deciding whether you can return the stuff or not. He happens to be Jewish. His name is Yaakov Shmero. Even according to Rav Moshe, that wouldn't make a difference. Even though he's Lamaise, he's making decisions, but he's making decisions as a shaliach, as an agent of the owners. He doesn't own any share in Pathmark. L'chari, that's not what Rav Moshe was talking about. If you don't own one share in Pathmark, then he's also making decisions. I don't know, even that, it's funny, because he's not really making decisions for the whole corporation of Pathmark. He's making decisions for the one little store. It's hard to believe that a guy who has one share in Pathmark is going to be making too many drastic decisions for the company. I don't know, not sure. Not sure. But anyway, not everyone even accepted Rav Moshe's Hagdara. Some said you go bust a rove and that's it. Again, as a general rule, we assume a rove. So most places in America, we assume are not really problems in terms of rivers. All these banks and stuff are not problems with rivers. Even without Rav Moshe's kula. Rav Moshe has the chumra by the managers, but he has the kula by the rivers of the Shibud Aguf story. So you don't have to come up to Rav Moshe's Shibud Aguf story. As long as the bank is a Goyish bank, we assume that that's good enough. There is one last halacha that we're going to talk about in terms of Jews and Goyim, which is a little bit complicated. It's a complicated sugya at the end of Ezer Neshach, but it could potentially, it is important. It has not for me as Ladina. So the Gemara raises, for Brunner, I'll trust the pen. So the Gemara discussed the following type of a situation. You can have a scenario that at first glance looks like it's not Rivers Bechlau. Let's say you have a Malva, Nevaloiva. The Malva's name is, need some good non-Jewish name. John, okay. No, John's in the show. John's it. Okay, John. So you have John. I'm not going to write Yaakov Shmero, that's too long. So John is lending money to a Jew. What's the Jew's name? We'll call him, what? Doug?
Don.
Oh, it is a Doug. Okay, we'll call him Moshe. Make sure everyone's simple name, okay? He's lending money to Moshe. What could possibly be the problem? So he's lending him $100 and he's giving him back $120. There cannot possibly have any problem. That's no shot at all. But it gets a little bit more complicated. Why? Because when John's about to lend money to Moshe, he says, Moshe, I don't know if you're going to be able to pay, the coal statements I'm paying so well these days. I'm afraid you may not be able to pay back this chov. I want somebody to co-sign this loan for me. I want someone to be an orif for me. So John may not know the sugi at the end of Avasra of that orif, but he knows ganz good that he wants to make sure there's someone to back up his loan. So John says, Moshe, go find me someone to co-sign the loan. So who's Moshe going to find? So Moshe may find, Paul or something. He may find a non-Jew to co-sign the loan. But most likely he's going to find his chavrusa. He's going to go find David. Okay, David's going to be the Arev. All right, so Moshe and John enter into an agreement. They write into the shtar that Moshe is going to pay back the loan, and if he can't find Moshe, so then David's going to pay back the loan on his behalf. So l'chora, it sounds like it's okay. What could possibly be wrong? The halvah is taking place in the mouth of the halvah. He's a goy and a Jew. So it's a sideshow. He's a tangent on the side. What could possibly go wrong? Well, the Gemara says something could possibly go wrong as follows. There is the possibility that David may end up paying this loan. That is true, right? That may happen. The David may end up, Moshe can't come up with the funds, so David may end up having to pay $120 to John. Right, because he's a co-sign of the loan, he's a co-sign of the rivers also. So David's going to have to pay $120 to John. Now, David, afterwards, is going to come to Moshe and say, Moshe, listen, I just laid down $120 for you. Like any other co-signer, I want to be reimbursed for what I did. So how much is David going to come to Moshe to ask for? He's going to ask for, obviously, $120. So Moshe is going to pay David $120. Is there anything wrong with that? If you think about it, is there anything wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with that. Because David, when David paid John $120, in a sense, David was lending Moshe the money at that point. David was stepping up to the plate. He was lending Moshe the money by, i.e., by paying back John. So he's lending Moshe the money. So he lent Moshe $120 in this roundabout way, and that was getting reimbursed $120. So that's not rivets. That's het the gomer. So l'chora, just the way the picture looks now, it doesn't look like a problem. The only rivets deal that was really made here was the original havah between John and Moshe, which was 100 in exchange for 120, but that's not a problem because John is a guy. The second deal that takes place here is when David pays back John. That's the equivalent of lending Moshe 120, but he's getting paid back 120. So shalom Yisrael, everything looks like it's hunky dory. It looks like it's great, almost great. Comes the Gemara and says, this is all true if the halacha views this as two separate halvaos that took place, that John lent Moshe, and then David lent Moshe. If that's what happened, then it's okay. But we could potentially look at this in a little bit of a different story. We can have the same chever over here. John, Moshe, and David. And Moshe comes to John and says, I would like a $100 loan for 100, and I'll pay you back $120. John says, I don't trust you to pay me back. I want a cosigner. So one could potentially say what's really happening when John is insisting on a cosigner, what's really taking place is as follows. John is lending David $100. Okay? David, in turn, is lending whom? Right away, right? Before anything gets paid back. The original setup was a double loan that took place. John lent David 100. David lent Moshe, in a sense, 100. And now what happens? When this loan gets paid back, if Moshe pays John directly, so he pays him 120, okay? But what may end up happening? What may end up happening is that David may end up have to pay John, right? If Moshe skips down, David's going to have to pay back John. So David's going to pay back John 120, which is okay, because David is a Jew, but John is a guy. But what's going to happen afterwards? David's going to come to Moshe and he's going to say, hey, wait a second, I'd like my money back. How much money do I want back? I want $120 back. That's bad. Okay? That's bad. That's ribbis. Because David lent Moshe $100, and Moshe gave back. David lent Moshe $100, and Moshe paid back David $120. So basically, how do we draw this box? The real question, it's a very lumdish shaila. When you have a relationship between a malv and a lov and an arev, what is really going on? So it's a mudna thing. The arev ends up becoming mechuyif to pay back money. So how do we view what happened? Do we view it as two distinct steps? It was the malva and the lova, they had a relationship, and the arev only enters into the scene. He only, in a sense, becomes a involved in the halva itself, even when he actually pays. If you view a malva lova arev relationship as such, that the arev doesn't enter into the scene of history until he actually pays, then there's no ribbis, because the arev is paying 120 and he's getting back 120. But if you say that the arev was already a player before, and in every case of a malva lova arev is really a dual loan that's taking place in between the lines, there are two distinct loans that are taking place. So now we have a potential ribbis problem over here from the loan from David to Moshe, which was given 100 and getting back 120. So that's the issue that the Gemara raised. So which is correct? Is the first mile of Arev right? Football plays over here. Is the first mile of Arev correct? That it's really only one loan and the Arev only enters into the scene later? Or do we view it as two distinct loans? So comes the Gemara and says, not all Arevs are the same. There are different types of Arevs. In fact, the Gemara tells us there are three distinct scenarios of an Arev in Halacha. You have three different types of Arev. One is called an Arev. Who was at the scene yesterday? What's the other kind of Arev? Arev Kavlan. What's the third kind? A Shloftos. If you can tell me what the etymology of that word is. You're very smart. We shouldn't have machlokes. It's wonderful what that word means. Okay, when Arev Shloftos, for some strange reason. What? Okay, yeah. Okay. It's kind of like a poker theory. Right? We're still trying to figure this phenomenon out. Why a drugstore is called a what? A poker theory. Apotheke, yeah. And every other store in Berlin was an Apotheke. I was amazed that everyone's borrowing money in Lohyev, but that wasn't clearly the case. Okay. Anyway, Ben from his European roots out of the continent roots, whatever you call it. Okay, a little inside British joke here. Okay, good. Getting back to the story. So the Gemara says there are three different types of Arabs, and they work fundamentally different. They're going to have Kamina's Ladin over here. But what exactly is the difference? So an Arab Stam is the way an Arab is supposed to work in Halacha. That's the way the Halacha envisions the case of an Arab. Standard Arab, without any complications, basically means that the Lov is supposed to pay back his debt. When John gives money to Moshe, Moshe is the first guy he's supposed to go to. You're not supposed to go to David. You're only supposed to go to David if Moshe skips town, Moshe defaults, Moshe can't be found, whatever it is. But Tachlis, the Malva, Lo Yipar, but the Arab, what's the Lashon Umar? Right. You're not allowed to go. John has no right to go to David. John can't take David to a dintayr or the court or whatever it is and say, I want you to pay me back. Let's go to Moshe first. If he can't take a Moshe, so then Nebuch can go after John go after David. So says the Gemara, it's a regular, plain, and simple Arev, where John is very limited in how he can approach David. It's inconceivable that David was really a player at the beginning. What do you mean David borrowed the money? David doesn't enter into the scene till 20 years from now. If and when Moshe skips down, then David's going to be taken after. So says the Gemara, when you have a regular Arev, obviously the first model is correct. Obviously, John and Moshe are the ones who have the relationship. If Moshe skips down and David has to come up with the money on his behalf, then and only then David lends the money to Elu. He's lending the money to Moshe and getting paid back. But that's the last case scenario. So when you have an Arab Stam, this is clearly the correct model. Then the Gemara says, what if you have an Arab Shlofdot? So what's an Arab Shlofdot? An Arab Shlofdot, the Gemara says, the Shalek Halacha. You're not in the Din Torah, you wouldn't have an Arab Shlofdot unless the Mamish made a condition to be such, or by the guy at least after Arab Shloft. So what's an Arab Shlofdot? Say it 10 times quickly. Is that the Malva John, when he wants to get paid up, comes January 1st, he's ready to get paid up, he doesn't even bother the Moshe. I need to talk to Moshe. I'm going right after David. He's Mamish going, he's going to David for cares. He doesn't have a right to go to Moshe. He's Mechuyah to go to David. David became, in a sense, Mamish the Loive. So comes the Gemara and says, if that's the case of Arev, if that's the relationship that John goes immediately to David, he doesn't have even a right to approach Moshe until David has been taken care of. So says the Gemara, obviously the first model is not correct, obviously the second model is correct. And what's really happening over here is that there's a halvah that's taking place between John and David. And then there's a second halvah that's taking place between David and Moshe. That's a problem. If you have an Arv Shloftot, then you have a Ribbis problem. The Gemara says, Yitaka, right, that is a problem. Okay? If that's what's going on, that is a problem. What is unclear from the Gemara is, what about the middle type of an Arv? What's a middle type of Arv? It's an Arv Kavlan. Again, you can decide. Malva Loivar, they can decide whatever they want. They want to write up in the Shtab whatever they want. So what's an Arv Kavlan? Arv Kavlan means that John has rights to go to whoever he wants to. He can go to the Lova first, he can go to the Arv first. No one can turn him away. Whatever his prerogative, whoever wants to collect from, he has the right to collect from. So come the Rishonim have a Machlokes. In that middle case, the middle case of Arv Kavlan, so the Rishonim have a Machlokes. Taka, what's the din? Is that considered to be closer to the model of an Arv Stam? And therefore it would not be a problem of Ribbis, or is it closer to the model of a Shloftot, which would be a problem of Ribbis? Like you said, Rishayim, the Rashi is Machmer, and the Rashi is making that shot. 2 days in Shulchan Aruch, what the din is about this unique, the middle type of an Arev. So at the end of the day, it's going to depend on what the setup is, what the deal is, what's it all about. If it's an Arv Stam, then for sure it's going to be Mutar. If it's an Arv Shloftot, for sure it's going to be Asa. If it's an Arv Kabbalah, it's going to be Machlokes Rishayim. How does this play out Lamaisa for us? It plays a lot. We have these shadows all the time. Person wants to take out a loan. Let's say I want to take out a loan from a guy, either from literally from a private guy, or I want to take out a loan from a Goyish institution, from a bank, or the government, whatever it is. And I don't have that much money. I'm a kid. So who do I ask? I needed someone to co-sign my loan. Who's going to co-sign my loan for me? You don't co-sign loans. Parents usually. It's part of their job. Right, clear, wrong. They usually end up co-signing loans for kids. So what's the halacha? So I have a friend, a relative, someone's going to call Samuel loan for me. Is that a problem? So it depends on what the setup is. Depends on what the secular law says. Is the setup that you enter into this agreement that you enter into the bank, is this an Arv Stam? Is it an Arv Shloptos? Is it an Arv Kavlan? So the postgate, it's not an Arv Stam. The bank can decide to go, right? Am I correct? So who's in the business world? Who knows? Well, they can go after whoever they want, right? Right, Lemais, I think they're allowed to go after whoever they want. So this is, it's clearly not an Arv Stam. Is it an Arv Shloptos? I'm not sure if it's an Arv Shloptos either, because Lemais, they can go after either one. It's probably the equivalent of an Arv Kablan. Arv Kablan is a big machlekes every shanim. In the first day in Shulchan Aruch, the Shulchan Aruch is machmir. A Rashi sheet is presented as the Stam sheet in Shulchan Aruch. Poskim say, really, it's a Shavu Deraisa. One has to be careful about this. One should be careful when you have people co-signing loans for you. It's not so posh. Another Jew could co-sign a loan for you. You can run into a serious problem in terms of ribbons. You have to figure out how to do it. The risk is, might have to figure out, not so simple.
The fact that it's a
suffix,
maybe
it's a
mean suffix is going to be Tavea.
No, but you set up a double loan. You set up a whole bunch of ribbons.
That's also
if I set up a halva ribbons, even though I never collect the ribbons, it's also us. Also, see,
you're
just
setting it up with a 50% chance.
No. There's going to be ribbons. It says it. It's 100% ribbons. He may not end up asking for the ribbons because the bank may end up going to the other guy. But there's a vada. There was a loan. There was an absolute halachic loan from John the bank. Lent money to the Arev Winter. Lent money to the Levin. It's a problem. Michael doesn't work. You can't be Michael Mr. Ribbis. You can't be Michael Ribbis. We'll talk about being Michael Hazaris Ribbis. You can't be Michael the Etzim. Otherwise, there's no Mr. Ribbis. Let the life always be Michael. That's a problem. So the post can make on the following case, the most common example case, Baruch Hashem, the post can make on is when you co-sign for a mortgage. So that, the post can make one for the following reason. When you take out a mortgage, so the way the setup is, no foreclosure signs, so the bank is, they're not going to the cosigner. They're not going to you. Where are they going to? They're going to the property. They're going to take the house. In theory, it could be they can go after you also, right? No, who knows about mortgages? Right, but Lamaisa, right? But Tachlis, Lamaisa, since the Nog Shiba Olam is, they go after the house. So the Poskim HaMekel on this, that's not considered to be. When you co-sign a loan for a mortgage, you don't view it as two separate loans. You don't say I'm lending to him and he's lending to me. You say I'm lending straight to the loan. Then you're putting up the house as a mashkon, and the bank's going to go after the mashkon. They're going to go after the house itself. So the one case that we need is for mortgages. But if a person wants to take out other kinds of loans, business loans, student loans, those kinds of stuff, it's not so posh. You have to figure out how to do this properly. Maybe you have to make out the risk for it. Not so simple. Just stop the co-sign loans could potentially be a problem. Those can have other issues about it. If you have two partners who take out a loan together, so very often the partners co-sign for each other. So that's also a problem. That's also going to potentially be a problem in terms of this. Again, you have to be aware of this. If and when you're in the big bucks and you're borrowing money and you want people to co-sign for you, or you're co-signing for other people, you have to be careful that you don't run into a problem with this. Okay, good. I think we're finished with that topic. We'll move on to the next last official part of the Ribbis Shiurim, then we'll talk hopefully later in the week a little bit about Heter Iska. So we move on to the issue of if you went ahead and you violated the Isurim Ribbis. Okay, so we did it. So we violated the Isurim Ribbis. I took Ribbis, now what? What do I do now with the money? So the Gemara is a big machlekes HaMaroi between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar in the beginning of Ezer Neshech, where the Ribbis Ketzutzes Yaitze B'Dayanim, Ribbis Ketzutzes Eni Yaitze B'Dayanim. Am I mechuyif to give the ribbis back or not? Assuming it's ribbis deraisa, it's ribbis derabanim. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But if it's ribbis deraisa, so Rabbi Yochanan says you took it, you violated the issur, and finished, you did it. It's your money now to keep. And Rabbi Elazar says no, you have to give the money back. Why do you have to give the money back? The Gemara says you have to give the money back according to Rabbi Elazar because of a pasuk in Chumash. The Torah says don't take ribbis, but rather help your brother remain alive. So the Gemara says if you're ready to take the ribbis, can you give it back to him? So that's fulfilling the mitzvah of chayachich imach. It's in that Gemara, the Gemara has the famous discussion about the two people walking in the desert about not enough water. That's what the Gemara talked about at the beginning of Ezer Neshech. It's nothing to do with ribbis, but that's where it appears, because the Gemara quotes the same pasuk by Chayachi Chaybach over there. So we have it the pasuk like Rabbi Elazar. The Gemara pasuk is the famous like Rabbi Elazar, that ribbis ketzutza is yaitze b'dayanim, that Beis Din is going to enforce this mitzvah, and you have to actually give back the ribbis ketzutza. So there is a big shayla, really a fundamental shayla, lamdash shayla. What's the nature of this halacha that lamais you have to give back ribbis to tzitzit? Is pshat that the ribbis does not belong to you? Your mamash kazlo on the ribbis. The same way that the Torah says, if I steal something, so you have to return it. If I steal your wallet, so I have to return the wallet to you because it's not mine. So the heishas hagzeirah shegozo means it's not my property. I have to give it back to you. So kol zman that I'm holding on to something which is not mine. Is that the same shot in ribbis? When the Torah says the Torah is teaching us that you have to return ribbis. The Torah, it's in a sense like a gezeila. We spoke about this. We mentioned this a little bit yesterday. That one day in Torah says that goyim amuzharim on ribbis. So it's like it's massive gezeila a little bit. So the Torah is telling me that it's mamish not my money. I have to return it. Well, bechlal not. It's not gezeila. You know why it's not gezeila? The guy gave it to me beratzayin. I didn't force him to give me the ribbis. He signed the contract to give me the ribbis. I'm not a gazlan. I'm a very honest guy who takes ribbis. I didn't do anything ethically wrong. I did something halakhically wrong, but I didn't do anything ethically, morally wrong. So I took ribbis from him. It's now my money. So the Torah gives me a chiddush v'chechichimach. You have to return it. Kol zman, you don't return it, it's still yours. The mamon belongs to you. Say, if I lent you $100,000 and you pay me back $100,000 and you gave me a car also, so that car is my car. The Torah says I have to return that car to you, but Kolzman didn't return it to you. That car still belongs to me. So that's a fundamental hakira. What's the nature of the mitzvah of Achzoras Ribbis? According to Rabbi Yochanan, there is no such mitzvah. But according to Rabbi Elazar, there's a mitzvah in the Torah that we pass into the Machzor the Ribbis. What's the nature of that chiyuv? Is the Torah telling us that it's bechlal not my money? Or the Torah saying no, even though it is my money, I'm technically entitled to it. Nechashim Mishpat, I'm entitled to it. I have a mitzvah to return it to you. So what's the din? What's the halacha? Someone bring a raya from the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch didn't put Hilchos Ribbis in Chayshim Mishpat. He put it into Yerodea. Why did he put it into Yerodea? Because it's fundamentally Yisav HaHetter. It's not really Chayshim Mishpat. The guy gave it to me Viratza, and so it's really my money. I don't have to return it for Torah's Gezeil. It's pure Yisav HaHetter. So I remember somebody was once saying a shiur, they were bringing this raya, so somebody raised the hand and said, so how come the Rambam put it into Hilchos Mavav Aloyve? The Rambam should have put it into Hilchos Kedusha, into Hilchos, Hilchos Yis. Isurei Mammon, I should have put it somewhere else. Why did he put it into his mouth alive, which is the dinim of Cheshire Mishmah? So the Rav who gave the shiur responded, where did you want the Ram to put it? The Ram didn't have anywhere else to put it. So he never, he was stuck. He had to put it into his mouth alive. The Shulchan Aruch made up a new category called the Cheshire. But Levi, so what's the din? So this appears to be a Machlaikis Rishayim. So Machlaikis Rishayim appears in the beginning of Maseches Kedushin. Most of Shiva guys, their entire knowledge of ribbis comes from Kedushin Davav. There's one sugya tucked away about Makadosh Bemilva, which the Gemara talks a little bit about ribbis. So the Gemara has a shayla if a person tries to Makadosh an Isha with ribbis. So what's the din? So the Gemara has a whole to do just to find the case. What do the words mean? So he says, he borrowed money from her. He's returning the money. He's getting hard and expands. A whole story just to find the case. So in the middle of that discussion, the Rishonim have the following discussion. What would the din be if the guy's mamish Makadosh an Isha with something that he took for ribbis? Like the case I gave you, he lent $10,000. He lent $100,000, and he got $100,000 back plus a new car. So now he's got this beautiful car worth $30,000, which is, it says on it, the license plate said Rivas on it, and the halacha is that he knows tomorrow morning Bezin's gonna go after him, and they're gonna make him fulfill the mitzvah chechachemach. But before he does that, he happens to be getting married that day, so he decides to drive the car into the chuppah, and he's mekadesh to Isha with this car. This car is the Rivas car. It's going back tomorrow. What's the din? Is that called Mekadosh Begezel or not? So we know the Gemara tells at the beginning of Kiddushin that if you Mekadosh an Isha with Gezela, so the Kiddushin is not Chal, can the Kesef has to be yours? One of the questions we ask under the Chuppah is, does this ring belong to you? Did you buy it with your own money? Did you steal it? Did you rob a bank? You have to make sure the money, the Kesef Kiddushin, actually belongs to the Chassid. So if under the Chuppah, this person would say, I'm about to be Mekadosh an Isha with this car, with this ring, whatever it is, and the Rav, the Mesadah Kiddushin, will ask him under the Chuppah, is this your ring? Is this your car? So the guy will say, well, it is kind of, because I got it for ribbis yesterday, it's going back tomorrow, but right now it's mine. Is that correct or not? Is that, can you be Mekadosh an Isha with something that became yours, quote unquote, through ribbis? So the Ritva in Maseches Kedushin says yes. The Ritva says, there's no problem with that. And I give it back tomorrow. You know, about it tomorrow. So tomorrow, so it was worth, at least you got to use the car for an hour. So it was worth Sheva Pruta. And it's not considered to be Mekadosh B'Gezela because it's considered to be fundamentally his. And the Meiri on that Sugin condition quotes the other Rishonim, quotes the Yesharim, and say it's not true, that that's called Kiddush B'Gezel. The same way Kiddush B'Gezel is no good, Kiddush B'Ribbis is no good as well. So what should it be? Who should we follow? The Ritva, this Yesharim and the Meiri? So comes the Ritva and says, I'll bring you a raya that I'm right. There's a proof positive that I'm correct. That there's it is considered to be the moment of the Malda. Says the Ritva, there's a Gemara at the beginning of the fifth parak of Bava Metzia, there's an Eshech where the Gemara raises the following question. What's the din if a person took ribis, took a lot of money to ribis, and then he dies? The Malva dies, and now is Beis Din going to go after the Bnei HaMalva or not? The children of the Malva have to return the ribis. There's a famous story with the Chassam Sofer that there was a person who was known who was the Malva of ribis in town. He was like, hey, rip off everybody, letting their money be ribis. And obviously the town was very upset at him, they couldn't do anything about it. And then the guy died, so the Chavad Kedisha decided to. When they were selling a kever to the Yorshim, so they charged an exorbitant price for the kever. So the Yorshim came to Chassam Sofer in the Rovin town to complain. Fair? Why do we have to pay so much more money? So the Chassam Sofer explained that normally when a person buys a kever, so he's only renting the kever. He's not going to live there. He's not going to stay there forever. He's going to be Tchesa Mesim someday. So he only has to pay for the next couple of years or so. But the Gemara says that someone who's Malvin Veribis doesn't come back with Chesa Mesim. So it's a much bigger investment for you. Your father's going to be there forever and ever and ever. You're going to pay a lot more money. The lighter side of Eastern and Central Europe in the 1800s. Okay. Anyway, so here the guy died and he left a big Yerusha. The only problem is the big Yerusha is all Ribis money. So we're going to go after the kids to pay the Ribis and not. So the Gemara says no. The Gemara says that the kids don't have to pay back the Ribis. The Gemara calls the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, V'chei achichimach. So l'didei azar rachamana, l'breilu azar rachamana. The Torah was only mechayev the Malva himself to pay back the ribbis. The Torah was the mechayev the Bnei Malva to pay back the ribbis. I can't divrei gemar. So comes the Ritva and says, if this was gezela, what kind of halacha would be crazy? What kind of halacha is that? If Reuven steals something and then Reuven dies, of course you're going to take it away from Reuven. That's not a shaila. If the object itself is still there, why do you have to give it back? If there was Yush and Shin Rishos and Shin. And Rishos Yorish, Kershos Lokeach, Sugis being a 10 perk of a cow. You have Sugis in the Gemara about Yush and Shin Rishos vis a vis Yerusha. But if the object's still there, I probably have to give it back. That's not a Shaila. So comes the Ritva and says, you see, claw from the Gemara, that has nothing to do with Gezela. There's a mitzvah satira. The Torah gave a mitzvah on the Malveh to give back ribbons. Like the Torah gave a mitzvah on the Malveh to put on tefillin. The Torah didn't give that mitzvah to the Ben HaMalveh. He only gave it to the Malveh. But that's what the Malveh, that's what the Ben HaMalveh pturim from this mitzvah. But Luyatsuya, that it would have been out Gezela, what's the Shaila? That's what the Ritva says. So Taka, what's Taka? Good Raya, Shtaka Raya. So come, Lachara, the Yeshom, the Meiri would have to say as follows. That Kuliyamala Pligi, that Ribis does not start out as Gezela. There's no question that Misvar Rishona, if not for the Pasuk of the Chei Chikimach, Ribis would not have been labeled as Gezela. Haraya, Rabbi Yechanan, who doesn't accept that Pasuk, Rabbi Yechanan says, the Chei Chikimach teaches me about the guy walking in the water with the desert, whatever, the whole story. Rabbi Yechanan says that there is no Gezer Sakasa to return Ribis. So Rabbi Yechanan clearly holds that Ribis is not Gezela. It's only Rabbi Lozer who has the Chiddush HaTorah that you have to return it. He says you have to return it. But the starting point of the whole sugi is that if not for Gzeres HaKosov, you don't have to return ribbits. So there's no question, the Machlokes HaRitva and the Meiri is not what would I have thought without the Pasuk. Of course without the Pasuk there would be no mitzvah to return. Of course it wouldn't be Gezela. The Machlokes HaRishonim is, in the case where the Torah is mechayev me to return it, when the Torah applies the mitzvah, so what's pshat in that mitzvah? Is that mitzvah just a mitzvah b'yahama, it's just the issa v'heter? Or is that mitzvah transformed in imamnus? Do we say once there's the mitzvah satira to return it, then it becomes mamash lech hashem mishpat, then it becomes mamash lech din imamnus? It's like mashal ma'adabadum, like pidyon ha-ben. So some rishonim say, when there's a mitzvah pidyon ha-ben, it starts out as a mitzvah, but once there's a mitzvah, then it becomes a shibud nechasim. That's the Gra's, right? The Gra says, the pidyon ha-ben is mamash din imamnus, it's mamash din hashem mishpat. It started out as issa v'heter, but once there's a mitzvah issa v'heter on it, then there's a din of din imamnus as well. So the same thing over here. There's no din of dini mamunus for someone who's not a bechor. If the Torah didn't give me the mitzvah pidyon ben, if my firstborn's not a boy, so I never had the mitzvah pidyon ben. So for me, there's no dini mamunus. The kohen comes and takes my property away. The kohen's a gazlan. But for a guy who's mechuyev in the mitzvah pidyon ben, if the kohen takes his property, he's not entitled to do it because chashim mishpat dini mamunus dictates such. So that's the same moshul that the Meiri would say as well. That in Ochidami, when there's no mitzvah to return the ribbis, then there's no dini mamunus of the ribbis. But whenever there's a mitzvah to return the ribbis, the mitzvah transforms. So that's you're holding on to something that'll be dini mamunus is not yours. So the mitzvah of returning ribbis was only given to the malva, wasn't given to the ben hamalva. The same way pidyon ben was only given to a firstborn boy, not to a firstborn girl. So comes the Yesh Omim and says, this is not a kasha to me. in Rechinami that if and when there's a mitzvah to return the rivers, then the taka transforms to become Cheshit Mishpat. So Kol Panim was still stuck with the original Machlokes. We're still not sure what should the din be. Should we follow this Ridvash? Should we follow this Be'iri? There is another issue that the Rishonim discuss, which probably relates to this as well. Rishonim raised the following question: what would the din be if there's a guy takes money for rivers, and now the mitzvah says to return, he's not supposed to return the rivers, he doesn't want to. So can Bezin go after his property? Can Bezin go and knock on his door and go take away his property? Go take away his karkas nechosim. What's the din? So if you hold that ribis becomes like kizela, it's mamash like a shibud nechosim. Like a pidyon aben, that's not the din. The gemara beferish and maseches kedushin that if the father doesn't want to give the kohen the five shkolim for pidyon aben, so the kohen has the right to take the guy to a din tayrer if he doesn't want to pay. So the kohen is going to go after his property. That was the gross raya. It's beferish and gemara that the shibud nechosim for pidyon aben. Well, let's say other mitzvahs may be like that. For tzedakah, lamashal, the whole machlekes is haposkim is a shibud nechosim for tzedakah. It's a famous ktsais. The gemara says in the beginning of Baba Basra that you're kofar in the midst of tzedakah. The person doesn't want to give the right amount for tzedakah he's supposed to give, so Bezin can beat him up to force him to give it. But if you shut him a bar with the kasha, what right does Bezin have to be kofar? It's not a regular din of kofar in all mitzvahs. Because the Gemara says in Chulin that you're not koif on a mitzvah which is matan schar betzida. If you have a mitzvah that the Torah gives you a reward for that mitzvah, the Torah says beferish, do mitzvah X and we'll give you a reward Y. So if the person doesn't want the reward, we can't force him to do the mitzvah. Mitzvah shematan schar betzida ain't bezin koif. The prime example is the mitzvah of kibud av v'eim. A guy doesn't want to do kibud av v'eim, bezin can encourage him, they can tell him to, but at the end of the day they can't beat him up to do kibud av v'eim because it's matan schar betzida. What's pshat? He doesn't listen to Rabban Shalom. He doesn't care what the Rabban Shalom says. The Rabban Shalom is being kaifa. The Rabban Shalom says to him, listen, you nincompoop, you're going to live long if you do kibra v'eim, and you're not going to live long at all. And the guy says, I don't care. The guy's not interested in the schar of the Rabban Shalom. So based in somehow, their kach is limited as well. He'll come all the Rishonim at the beginning of Bavasra, of Chest, I says the Kash, of Chest, and based in Bavasra. So how can we be kaifa for tzedakah? Tzedakah is also man's chor betzida. The Torah says, beferish pashas re'eh, that if you give tzedakah, well, you say you're going to have a tremendous atzlocha, you'll be matzlech, and all your nechosim, all the brachas, have most batayra. But it's a classic man's chor betzida. It's a classic man's chor betzida. What right do we have to be kaifa on it? So Tosfos gives tevutzim. Tosfos says that, well, there's a los asay in tzedakah also. So maybe we can't be kaifa on an asay, but a los asay we can't be kaifa on the rishon. Other tevutzim, everyone's trying to figure out what's the answer to this kasha. Why are we allowed to be kaifa on tzedakah? So the ktsai says, he doesn't, there's a kasha b'chlal. Says the ktsais that tzedakah is not just a mitzvah. Tzedakah is a shibud nechosim. You're nechosim b'shubud to give X amount of tzedakah, whatever the right amount, yeah, Bezin has to ascertain how much each person is supposed to give. The dinim of a ma'isik sofim, those of minhagim or other things, the opponents, whatever they come from. But the real din derais of tzedakah is that los amis is levav kol sipot says yal chodinim. When somebody comes to you, so you're supposed to give them, supposed to give every person who comes to you. So the Bezin sees that I really should be giving. Bezin looks at me and says, you should be giving more tzedakah. The guy says, I don't want to give tzedakah. So comes the Ktzos and says, it's the chosim of Meshubadim. So that's what Bezin is koifah. They're not koifah him to fulfill the mitzvah of tzedakah. They koifah him to, because his nechosim don't belong to him. The Aniyim have a share in his nechosim. No, so l'chora, if you now have to be done, what would that locha be in terms of achzoras ribbis? The guy doesn't want to return the ribbis. So comes around and Bavitzi and says, if a guy doesn't want to return the ribbis, we can't really do anything to him because in the end of the day, he's not a Goslin. If a guy's a Goslin and he's holding on to, I stole your car and I'm holding on to the car, so Bezin can come after me to fulfill the Heshvah Sagazel because I'll feed him on this. The car is not mine, so of course they can come after me. But if I took something from you, Beribis, in the end it belongs to me. Like the Ritva says, I can be Makadosh an issue with it. It's really mine. I have a mitzvah of the Chechechimach. So Bezin has no right to take away my property, to fulfill mitzvahs. They can take away my property when there's a shibud on me in terms of dinim mamlet. That's what the Ran says. So the Chur, the Yesham, and the Meiri would disagree with that for sure. If you hold like that day in the Meiri, that whenever there's a mitzvah, by definition, the money's not yours, so of course Bezin has they have an obligation to take it away from me. If they let me hold on to this car that I took Beribis, so they're letting me hold on to something that's not mine. So Bezin's first and primary job in the role in the world is to give the right money to the right owner. So if I don't own this property because the Torah asked me from taking it, the Torah is mechayev me to return it, so Bezin has to enforce that. According to the Meiri, a Vada Bezin has to be a Vada Bezin has to take away my Nechasim. But one could raise the following question. One could suggest that even if you don't go to, as far as the Meiri, even if you hold like the Ritva, it's mine, and if a Mekadesh an issue with it, so that the Kedusha is going to be Chal, you could still argue the Beis Din has the authority to take away the property. I mean, based on the Ramban, we spoke about this earlier this year. I don't know if you remember the Ramban, the end of Bava Basra. No, I don't remember Shibur, but Shibur Deraisa. There's a big machlekes in the Gemara with the Shibur Deraisa, Shibur Lav Deraisa. And the Zavai Bar, 100,000, no rivers here. Regular. Tavit and Reuben Moshe. Regular, normal. Reuben lends 100,000 to Shimon. So the halacha is that Shimon has to pay back. And if Shimon doesn't pay back, so Reuben has a right to go after Shimon's karka. Last Mishnah in the area of Basra. Where does that halacha come from, that Reuben has a right to go after his property, even if he sells the property to somebody else, or even if Shimon dies, he can go after the nechasim of the Yarshim. What right does he have to do that? It's called Shibud Nechasim. But where in the world does that come from, Shibud Nechasim? Is that a din derais, or is that a din derabbanon? So it's a big machlekes in the Gemara. So comes the Ramban, famous Ramban, the end of Basra, and says that if you hold that Shibud Nechasim is only mid derabbanon, so Tacha, what right do we have to force a loan ever to pay back? I borrow $100 from somebody, and I don't want to pay back the loan. So, Minat Torah, what's the din? In Moshe Rabbeinu's Beis Din, imagine such a case would come to Beis Din in Moshe Rabbeinu. Reuben doesn't want to pay back Shimon. So, if your Shibud is deraisa, so Beis Din is going to say, we're going to take your house away, finish. But if Shibud is lav deraisa, so what was the din before the Chum instituted Shibud Nechasim, according to that Man D'Yama? What was the din? So, the Ramban says, the din is that there's no chiv din amonis to pay back a halva, but there's a mitzvah to pay back a halva. You borrowed the money, so of course you have to pay back the money. You have a religious obligation to pay back the money. So says the Ramban, famous Ramban of the end of Basra, you have a religious obligation to pay back the money, and we have a klal called kaifin ala mitzvahs. A guy wakes up one morning and says he doesn't want to put on tefillin. So if Beis Din has the kaif to do so, they'll force him to put on tefillin. The guy says Pesach Lai doesn't want to eat matzah. Beis Din has the kaif to do so, they'll force him to eat matzah. So comes Ramban and says, if a guy says he doesn't want to pay back the loan, Beis Din will force him to do the mitzvah of returning the loan. It's not chesed mishpat. He has a mitzvah to, he borrowed the money, he has a chiyav l'shalom. That chiyav Beis Din is going to enforce. How does Beis Din go about enforcing it? So the Ramban says, Beis Din has two methods at their disposal. Either they could force him a kfir b'gufo, they could beat him up, put him in jail, whatever they'll do to him as a kfir b'gufo to pay back the chov. Or kfir b'mamono. They'll take away his money. They'll go into his house. They'll kick him out of his house. They'll take his house away and give it to the malveh. So comes around and says, that's also a form of kfir. Kfir l'mitzvah doesn't only mean begufo. Kavachom says, not. He can be kfir begufo. Kavachom, he can take away his mamon. That's a kfir b'mamon. So comes around and says, the din of kfir kfir l'mitzvah is enough to take away a person's property. That's the famous Ramban to the end of Bava Basra. So the Chayra, that Ramban, is not like this Ran in Bava Metzia. The Ran in Bava Metzia raises the shadow. What's the din? If a guy doesn't want to fulfill the mitzvah of Chayra Chaymach, will we force him to do so or not? Will we take his property away or not? So the Ran starts to discuss it, starts to philosophize. What's the nature of the mitzvah? So if the mitzvah, if Chayra Chaymach creates a chiv and then imamnas like the Meiri Shita, those Rishonim, then a Vadi can take it away. The same way you can take away from a Gazlan. Same way you can take away from anyone who owes money in terms of Chesh Mishpat. But if you hold that it's not, if you hold like the Ritva is just a mitzvah b'yam, it's a behet, just a mitzvah b'yamva, so then, says the Rad, we can encourage him, we can beat him up, we can't take his property away. This Kaifel HaMitzvah doesn't give you the right to take away somebody's property. So that Rad, in the beginning of Ezer Neshech, is against the Ramban in the end of Bava Basra. Who made this observation? The Ktzais makes the observation. The Ktzais, in the beginning of Siman Lamites, so he has a whole 20 pages about Shibud Deraisa, Shibud Lav Deraisa, and then far at the end he says, and by the way, these two, this Ran and this Ramban, don't seem to go hand in hand together. What's the din? Is Kaifel al Mitzvahs only mean Kfir B'Gufo, or is Kaifel al Mitzvahs even include Kfir B'Mamayna? So getting back to the story, bottom line is, we have this still unresolved question in the Rishonim, what is the status of the mitzvah of Lahachzir Ribbis? So everyone agrees, we pass like Rabbi Lozer, the Gemara passes like the Farish like Rabbi Lozer. Ribbis Ketutze is Yaitze B'Dayonim. Everyone agrees you have to pay it back. Everyone agrees that it starts out as the mitzvah to pay back. If when the mitzvah doesn't apply, then you don't have to pay back, like in the case of the Yarshim. But even when the halacha says that you have to pay back, does it transform to become a chiyav in dinim hamanes? That's what the Meiri Rishonim say. Or does it remain as a mitzvah? That's what the Ritva says. Nafkamina Lagabi Kolzman, you haven't paid back. Who owns the property? Nafkamina Lagabi Kedusha Isha. then you have a further shaila. What would the din be about taking the, can Beis Din actually go to the guy's property and take it away? So if you hold this din of mamonos of hadda, they can. If you hold it, it's a hefter. So then it becomes subject to this machlokes, the Ramban and the Ran, where the kfila mitzvahs includes taking away a person's property. This din that Ribbis Ketzutza is yotze b'dayanim, I'm supposed to return it. What would the halacha be in the following case? Let's say I borrowed $1,000 of Ribbis Fiyah. We violated the Tavla Veir, the Ribbis. And now I realize that we learned about Betzia, came to the Ribbis Shurim, Junzman, and we come to the realization, hey, I'm supposed to return the money to you. Okay, so I said, the Malva's going to return the money. So the Malva comes to the Loiva, and he says, I want to return the $1,000 to you. And the Loiva says, listen, you were such a nice guy to me. I don't want you to pay. I don't want to pay. I'm Michael. The money. It's okay. You can hold on to the money. Is that good? Is that no good? Is he allowed to be Michael in the mitzvah of Achzoras HaRibbis? That's a shayla in the Rishonim. So comes the Rambam and says that this is a tricky question, says the Rambam. Does Mechila work on Ribbis? So as a general rule, Mechila doesn't work on Ribbis. If Mechila worked by Ribbis, then the whole is a Ribbis would fall by the wayside. The Torah says that even the loiv is muzer on the Yisra of Ribbis, whether the lumdus is as an independent Yisra, whether it's part of the Yisra of the Malva. So there's a shtickle Torah from yesterday and from last week. It's all very nice and dandy. But tachlis, if the loiv says to the Malva, I'm willing to pay the Ribbis, the Malva is still not allowed to take the Ribbis. It's still the same as the Araisa. Whether the loiv wants to pay the Ribbis, doesn't want to pay the Ribbis. So for sure, a Mechil doesn't work in that sense. So says the Rambam, but that doesn't mean that Mechil doesn't work on the mitzvah of Hachzoras at Ribbis. Hachzoras HaRibbis is like any other Hachzor. Let's say, Moshe Mahesher is like Zeyla. I steal something from you. I break into the house, I steal something from you. Beis Din catches me, come to Beis Din, and Beis Din says you have to pay him back $1,000 that you stole. And you say, you turn around to me and you say, you know what, I really feel bad. So, yeah, I know you've had a tough life, a tough upbringing, you know, I want to give you a new start in life. Keep the $1,000. You don't have a right to do that. You don't have a right to do that. You can be Michael on the Heshra Sekzela, Shagazel. So comes the Rambam and says, the same way you can be Michael on the Heshra Sekzela, you can be Michael on the Chechechimach. You can't be Michael on the original taking of Ribbis, because that undermines all the sort of taking Ribbis. But once the Issa was over already, and now it's just a Shaila of to fulfill the new mitzvah of the Chechechimach, if the guy wants to be Michael on that, so then he has a right to do so. So even though not everyone agrees that Ram Lechair is a Raya Brewer for the Rambam, like the sugi that appears in the beginning of the ninth parak in Bava Kama, appears a little bit in Bava Metzia also, about what if you have a person who's a Malva Beribis, and now he wants to come and be Chayzi B'tshuva. So you have this Malva Beribis, he's collected loads and loads of money, and now he wants to come and make do, he wants to give back the money that he bought Beribis. So the Gemara says that someone who takes the money back, even though technically speaking they're allowed, Chechechemach, he's Mechuyv to give it back, the Gemara says, Ein Rucham Noichei Menu. That's not right. The Chachamim say that you shouldn't take money back from the Malva Beribis. Why? The Gemara says, "Hagazlanim Malva Beribis Sheikh Zero Ein Mekabel Mehem." Either a Gazlan wants to come and do tshuva, wants to give you back the stuff, or the Malva Beribis wants to give you back the money. So the Gemara says it's not right to take the money back from them. Why? Because Nimzata Noel Bifneim Dachiat Tshuva. The guy's never going to want to do tshuva if he knows that in order to be chayz b'tshuva he's going to have to give back so much money. That's it's going to be impossible for them to be chayzi b'tshuva, so therefore ain't rucham nachman. Meikra din you're entitled to the money back, but the more appropriate thing to do is to say, I'm Michael, you know, I don't want to take the money back. I want to encourage you to do tshuva. So lechayre, if you don't accept the Rambam, that mechila works. So then, what do you mean that we encourage him not to accept the money? He's mechuyav to give the money anyway. So lechayre, you see clearly that a father mechila works, but minat Torah, the loaf is not mechuyav to Michael. Min haTorah, the nigzel is not mechuyav to Michael. The Chacham strongly recommend that the loiva should be Michael. So does this din apply with Man Hazeh? So Taisus has a whole discussion about this. Taisus says, what kind of din is this that the Chacham will misaken that you're not supposed to take the money back from the Malva Ribbis, not from the Gazlanim? Taisus shows it from Gemaras. There are Gemaras that speak about Beis Din making Gazlanim pay back. People accept the money from the Gazlanim, so we don't see that this halach was practiced in the Gemara. So what kind of story is this? So Taisus quotes different opinions about this. So one day, Taisus quotes in the Nevar Ben Atam that this whole Gemara, this whole story, where the Gemara says you're not supposed to accept money from the Malva Ribbis and the Gazlanim, was a whole Rosh Shah. It was only said in the day of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. The Brice actually tells a story that prompted Rabbi Yehuda Nasi to make this takana, to tell people not to accept the money back. The Gemara tells a story that there was a certain person who was a Gazlan his whole life, his Malva Ribbis his whole life, and now he wanted to be Chazmat Shuv at the end. So his wife told him, "What are you crazy? If you're chazim b'tshuva, if you're chazim b'tshuva, you won't have any money left. I feel a little, what does the Gemara say? Even his belt, they'll take away from him. You have one of your pants left. You have nothing. They're going to take every last penny from you." So she convinced him not to give the money back. The Gemara says he decided not to be chazim b'tshuva, and he kept on taking more, kept on the gazelle. So he continued to Gaza, he continued to be Mavah Baribis. So Rebbe, when Rebbe Nanasi heard that story, so Osa Shah, Rebbe was misakin that you shouldn't accept money back from the Gazlanim and the Mavah Baribis. So Rebbe Natam learns that was a harosh, that was one. Rebbe in his day felt there was some tremendous tzarech. There's no such halacha. And other days, I say, no, it didn't really apply as Bizman Hazeh, but it only applies in this kind of a scenario where a guy who's mamash, a professional money lender, his entire life, his whole parnosa came from ribbis, or his whole parnosa came from gazela. Then it's not going to be a shver avod. If you're going to try, we want to encourage a person to be chayz b'tshuva. If you're going to tell the guy, you have to give back every single penny, you won't have anything, you'll be a beggar. That's not a problem. Then the takana makes sense. That we say to the person, listen, you know, he only stole $1,000 from you. He stole $1,000 from him, and from him, everyone lost $1,000. But as a tzibur together, we should each person should be meichel their money to encourage the person to be chazim b'tshuva. But if you have a guy who he's got other businesses also, this guy's got other money. He's got other money invested, and every once in a while he rips people off. Every once in a while he steals from people, but he's doing okay without the stealing. He was living a perfectly well lifestyle without the extra couple of $1 million that he stole from people, or a couple of $1 million of ribbons that he took over the years. So then the Rishonim say, so make him give back that, he'll still be fine. What's going to be the Mikshah? But he's not going to be, he'll be Chayz B'tshuva. So the only time that the Kohen applies is only in a very, very unique situation. So again, Lamai, that's, I think we assume like one of those 2 days in Taisus that this only applies to, if a guy steals from you, under the normal circumstances, you're allowed to get your object back. You don't have to feel bad about taking it back. If you feel that you're taking it back is going to hinder him from doing tshuva, then the sugya becomes relevant. But a chol parim, you see from the Gemara that avadi can be meichel. Like the Rambam says, you can be meichel on the achzaras ribbis, you can't be meichel on the isser ribbis gufa, but you have every right to be meichel on the achzaras ribbis if you choose to do so. So a chol parim, the din is that ribbis ketutza is yaitzim and dayarim. Nevertheless, the Gemara says, in contrast to ribbis ketutza, avak ribbis, anytime ribbis is on him in the rabbanon, so it's eina yaitzim and dayarim. So then there's no mitzvah. There's no chiyuv, or Bezin doesn't have a right to force you to return the ribbis. It's only the rabbanon. You did it already in shayt. So there's a big machlekes that we've shown him. But we say avak ribbis. We have a lot of cases of avak ribbis. Many, many things we spoke about this last 2 weeks were only ribbis the rabbanon. When we say that avak ribbis is any yotzev dayanim, does that mean that I can mamish left you in the mountain, literally left on his way to the bank? Means I violated some Mr. Ribbis Darabon and Dach, like Chamemker or something. We did some goof, and now I got the money. So tough luck, I don't have to give it back to you. Avak Ribbis, any answer? It's not my problem. What do you say? No, that means Beis Din can force you. But you wonder what the right thing to do is. Let's say you say, they Shemaim, Avad, you're supposed to give it back. You weren't supposed to have it in the first place. So Avad, you're supposed to give it back. That's a big machlek, because every Shemaim, again, Ribbis Ketutza is Yerutz Vidayon, and Beis Din will force you, maybe even take away your property, according to the Ramban. But avak ribbis is any yotz b'dayonim. So does avak ribbis any yotz b'dayonim mean that it's totally, completely mine? L'chadchilah shulachadchilah. I shouldn't have taken it. Once it's mine, I don't even have to be mityaches to you. There's no midas chasid. There's nothing. I don't have to return it to you. B'chlal, I can keep it. What do you say? Avak ribbis any yotz b'dayonim just means any yotz b'dayonim. Beis Din can't get involved. Avad is supposed to return it. But it's chavstaf kaminas ladina. We have a lot of cases like this. So we had a case where. There was a father, I think it was a father-in-law and a son-in-law, they were involved in some kind of a, I forgot already what the details were, some kind of a credit card, and not a bad thing, whatever, one was co-signing another credit card, he was borrowing money, he was using one credit card, he was paying back a debt for that. Kids, it was some kind of a setup that involved Isur of Ribbis, they didn't know about it, so it wasn't clear whether it was Ribbis their ice, or it was their abundant, whatever it was. But now the mice said it was a lot of money that had ended up in one of their pockets. Now the Malva ended up with a lot of extra money that Rapid didn't, he wasn't supposed to have. So what's the halacha? Is he supposed to? If it was Ribbis Deraisa, then he's mechuyev to return it, unless the other guy's Michael. So that's what happened to Maisa. The other person was Michael. He didn't want the money back from him. But if the other person would have demanded the money back, so then we would have had it really be done. Is it Ribbis Deraisa? Ribbis Derabanan? You have to be careful. Even if it's Ribbis Derabanan, not so posh at any yotz b'dayanim. So we'll mention tomorrow. We'll continue from this point. If somebody violated the din of Ribbis Derabanan, so what are the ramifications of that? Is there an inyan to return? Are you supposed to return it? What role of that returning? What's that all about? We'll mention tomorrow.